From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Monday. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, where it's always better when we stand together. Welcome, everyone. Again, an incredibly busy weekend of news. We're going to get to all of it today. Just to give you all a little flavor of what I got going on, at 3 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by a senior fellow from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Her name is Molly Weston Williamson. She is an expert on labor law, and we're going to specifically be talking about the threats to Social Security that the Trump administration poses. So Molly's going to join us at 3. I'm going to see if we've got time for my good friend Greg Gunderson out of Park Falls for a little bit of what's going on in your neck of the woods. But subject matter-wise today, ladies and gentlemen, we have to talk about the passing of Pope Francis, as well as what exactly he had to say yesterday when he briefly addressed nearly 35,000 people in the courtyard outside of St. Peter's Basilica for Easter, because I think the Pope's words yesterday are not new. They were clearly directed at the Trump administration. We'll talk about that. We are going to talk about Signalgate 2.0. Pete Hegseth apparently doesn't understand the most rudimentary rules of Intel security. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about that in relation to a phenomenon which I am observing on a near daily basis coming from the Trump administration, which is massive screw up. And instead of saying you're sorry and fixing said screw up, it's double down on error, defend at all costs, and blame a whole bunch of other people for what is objectively your screw up. Seems to be a theme in the Trump administration. And if you never thought you'd hear the words Pete Hegseth and Harvard University in the same sentence together, I'm going to show you why those two bits of news have something in common over the weekend. But what I want to start with here, it's been a theme in the show because it is my belief as a lawyer, as someone who cares deeply about public policy, about due process, about the rule of law, it is my belief that what continues to go on a near daily basis, the actions and inaction of the Trump administration, pose a very significant and real threat to just the most basic fundamental rights that we all enjoy as Americans. So I want to start there. we're going to talk about the Supreme Court's 1 a.m. ruling Saturday morning and what brought it about, because it is really extraordinary. The ruling itself, I didn't think was that exceptional, the language of it, but that it was needed, what precipitated the need for a middle-of-the-night Supreme Court intervention in something other than a death penalty case, is pretty breathtaking, as was Justice Alito's dissent in that same case. And I'm going to tell you this. One of the things that you will hear me complain about as a lawyer all the time on this show is bad lawyering and bad judging. And it is my belief that judges especially have to take the greatest of care, as do government lawyers, to ensure that everything that they're doing is free of your personal political biases. We all have them. I worked as a government lawyer for a long time, and I've always had my own strongly held political beliefs, but I took great care to make sure that my judgments as an attorney working for taxpayers and residents of the jurisdictions I worked for, that those judgments were free from, as best as I could do, my political judgments. So let's start with what happened. Why did the Supreme Court need to issue a ruling at 1 o'clock on Saturday morning? Everything that we're talking about right here, there are many cases that are proceeding that relate to the deportations of individuals in this country, some legally here, some not legally here. The deportations occurring by the Trump administration under the Alien Enemies Act. And I want to be clear that we have yet to get a court ruling on whether or not the Trump administration is legally using the Alien Enemies Act to deport people. Remember, of course, that the Alien Enemies Act has only been invoked when the United States was actually at war in the past. It's never been. We don't have a declared war right now. So it's important to remember, not a single federal court has weighed in on whether or not the Trump administration's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act is actually valid or not. So all of the action that we've seen in these many cases, including the cases that have matriculated up to federal appeals courts as well as the Supreme Court, are only about the intermediary questions of what due process is required before you can deport someone under the Alien Enemies Act, even assuming that that's valid. Because again, we haven't gotten to a final determination by any court, let alone the Supreme Court, about whether or not the invocation of the AEA, the Alien Enemies Act, is valid. So all this action is only about, well, how, assuming it's valid that you can do that, what additional process, what additional procedures must the Trump administration provide, and how do people subject or potentially subject to deportation under the Alien Enemies Act, where do they have to file their cases to challenge their deportation? Can those cases be brought on behalf of a class of persons? What kind of claim needs to be made? But what has the one ruling that we have gotten from the Supreme Court directly with respect to every single person that Donald Trump would like to or attempt to deport under the Alien Enemies Act, what the Supreme Court has been clear, unequivocally clear about in a 9-0 ruling, even with Justices Thomas and Alito, is that due process must be provided to any person that Donald Trump is seeking to deport under the Alien Enemies Act. That was the 9-0 decision, days ago, a week ago. I forget when it was. Let's see. I might have a note here. I believe it was like 15 days ago, 13 days ago. Anyway, just a bit around 2 weeks ago. Here's what the Supreme Court said. Alien Enemies Act detainees must receive notice after the date of this Supreme Court order that they are subject to removal under the Alien Enemies Act. The notice must be afforded within a reasonable time and in such a manner as will allow them, meaning the people that are subject to potential deportation, as will allow them to actually seek habeas corpus relief in the proper venue before such removal occurs. Okay? So that decision came down on April 7th. On April 7th. Since that date, and I'm going to forget about the contempt proceedings before Judge Boasberg for a minute, because those contempt proceedings relate to Judge Boasberg's orders related to this class of plaintiffs, and it was his orders that eventually went up to the Supreme Court that generated this order, okay? So forget the contempt proceedings, but that's one of the cases. Then you've got the case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia, also about the Alien Enemies Act case, about one individual man who had a federal immigration judge order that said he shall not be deported. They call it withholding of deportation. And so what happened after the Supreme Court said 9-0, unanimously, not even a dissent from Alito or Thomas, that of course you have to give due process to these people before you deport them, and you have to give them notice that you're seeking to deport them so they can get that process, and that notice has to be provided so that they have a reasonable time, and it has to be provided in such a manner that they can actually seek that relief. They can avail themselves of their right to due process. So after that Supreme Court ruling on April 7th, a number of court cases were filed all over the country, wherever these people were being held, because that's what the Supreme Court also required. You got to do it via habeas. The habeas has to be filed where the person is being kept in that federal district court, including filings in the Southern District of New York, the District of Colorado, and what becomes really important for this case over the weekend, the Southern District of Texas. In that filing by the ACLU after April 7th in the Southern District of Texas, the judge in that case barred the government, issued an injunction, a temporary restraining order, against the government that said you cannot remove the named plaintiffs in that action. Okay? And those specific named plaintiffs in that action were being held at the El Valle Detention Center. The other rulings from other district courts were also geographically specific, like about a particular detention center, a particular jurisdiction. So keep this idea of being geographically specific in your head, because what the Trump administration did next shows you that they have no intention of following these constitutional principles, this most fundamental constitutional principle, the one right that every democracy affords persons in its jurisdiction, due process. They have no intention of providing due process rights. And that, my friends, is violating not just district courts, but the very Supreme Court order itself on April 7th. I break it down more, as well as Justice Alito's dissent, when we come back right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.